I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And today on the show, we're going to have a security special. Going to keep you secure on the interwebs as much as we can. It's really up to you, okay? Your security is up to you. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes, indeed. And by the way, speaking of security, this week's show is sponsored by IPVanish. IPVanish is a VPN, an excellent VPN that is highly rated and that I use myself, as you'll see in some demos that I'll have for you today, to see how VPN can keep you safe. And IPVanish is a very, very good quality VPN. And if you would like a discount on IPVanish, all you have to do is go through our link, as it says there on the screen. It is drbill.tv/VPN. Use that link. Spread that link around. Tell your friends. Send them email with that link for drbill.tv/VPN. Okay, virtual private networking. Do that. That'll help the show. All right. Well, let's get into it. We're talking about security. Number one, we're going to have 10 things here for your security. Number one, what would you guess? Patch. Patch, patch, patch. Okay? Patch your system. Now, that means when the Microsoft updates come up, don't turn them off. Don't deny them. Don't delay them. Go ahead and let it patch your system, and then go ahead and reboot. You may say, yeah, but Dr. Bill, it didn't say it needed to reboot. Doesn't matter. Do you good to reboot anyway. Okay? Reboot after doing your patching, but don't forget to patch. That's number one. Number two, install protective software. Okay? Practice safe computing. All right? So what do? You install any number of antivirus packages out there. I personally recommend Bitdefender Free. It is a free antivirus. You can download it from the link that I have in the blog, drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Go to the article on the 10 things you could do to protect your security online, which is what we're talking about, and look for the link for Bitdefender Free. Okay? Number three, choose strong passwords. Now here I say strong passwords use a combination of letters, numbers, and special characters, or a multi-word passphrase. Multi-word passphrases are excellent to use for a password, passphrase, okay? You can create a unique password, and you should, for every online account you have. Don't reuse your passwords. Never, ever, ever reuse your passwords. And you say, well, yeah, but Dr. Bill, if I have a different password for every single site that I go to, I'll never remember them all. Well, that's what a password manager is for, like LastPass. All right, LastPass, also free. There's a link to it in the blog that the aforementioned drbill.tv. LastPass can manage all your passwords, so use it. All right, number four, backup on a regular basis. You're only as good as your last backup. System guys like me say that all the time. You're only as good as your last backup, all right? So what do we do there? We schedule routine backups. We keep a few months' worth of retrievable backups, some on site, some in the cloud, okay? You want one local, you want one off site, you want one in the cloud. That's preferable, okay? And if you want a backup tool, you could use EASIS Backup, which is free. The link, once again, in the blog article, so check that out. Number five, control access to your machine. Now, this is not obvious for a lot of people, but your physical computer security is as important as your software or technical security, okay? If somebody can get a hold of your physical machine and sit there and bang on the keyboard, then you are potentially opening yourself up to be hacked, okay? So control access to your computer. Number six, use email and the internet safely. This is a big one. This is probably one of the biggest ones. Ignore unsolicited emails. Do not open attachment. Yeah, but they sent me a cute little picture of a kitty cat. That's great, but don't open it. It can contain evil. Okay, so be wary of any attachments, links, and forms and emails that come from people you don't know or which seem fishy. P-H, fishy. Okay. Avoid untrustworthy, often free downloads. And use Mail Washer Free to clean your email. Mail Washer Free, as the name implies, is a free mail spam washer. I recently did something that I shouldn't have done. I clicked on something I shouldn't have clicked on right as I was clicking, and I went, no! But it was too late. I'd clicked it. And that let the people know on the other end that it was a live email address. And so I got on some spam lists. I'm very frustrated with myself about that. I knew better as I was clicking it. But anyway. So I got Mail Washer, and it works very well. Let's look at a demo of that right now. All right, we're going to take a look at Mail Washer here. So I'm going to open up Mail Washer from the tray. And I've pixelated the screen so that you can't see any of the email addresses. But basically, if you notice, I can select an email that is spam and mark it as spam. It will go, it'll have a red colored line there. And then I can wash it with the wash button here, which looks like a bar of soap. That cleans out all the spam. Then if I open my email, now again, I pixelated it out for security reasons, but I can then go into email and all of my email has been cleansed of spam, washed, okay? So now let's open up the Mail Washer again. And I will show you the options that we have here. So once again, I will go into the settings. And if you notice here, you can choose to whitelist your friends' addresses. Now I'm going to unpixelate it here. And now you can see you can set up your learning settings, your spam ratings. You can even do spam reporting. If you join SpamCop or one of these other organizations, you can actually have your spam reporting go to those organizations, which is pretty cool. Now I can get out of here, and I'm back to my email. Now, as you can see from that demo, I had to fuzz out some of it for security reasons, but that's okay. It got a little pixelated there as you were watching it, but it conveyed what I wanted to convey, which is that it will pre-examine your email and allow you to mark it as spam, and then it will remember that, and then that address, if it comes up again, will be marked as spam. And then when you wash it with a little soap button, which is cute, then that will wash your email and clean it all out before you ever go into the email and look at it, okay? So Mail Washer Free. Number seven, use secure connections. That's what we're talking about VPN earlier, virtual private networking. When connected to the internet, your data can be vulnerable while in transit from point A to point B, okay? And so what you want to do is use remote connectivity and secure file transfer options, protect sensitive data, and use a good VPN package like IPVanish that I've already mentioned. DrBill.tv/VPN will get you a really good VPN that you can use that I use. And let's take a look at an example of using this VPN solution, IPVanish, right now. Okay, so let's go over here and start IPVanish, the VPN here. I want to start it up. And you notice that it is running. It is on. It's connected to Ashburn, which is a server in the United States. If I look down here, it will actually give me the name of the IPVanish server that it's connected to, the protocol, and how long it's been running. It also gives me a visual representation of the bandwidth in use. I really like that about the interface. Now, if we go into settings here, you'll see that I have it set to start IPVanish when Windows starts, because I want to be sure that all my connections are through VPN for security purposes. And then I also have it set up so that when it starts, it will connect to the fastest server in the United States. And I could do this by selecting other countries here as well that they have servers in. But I want to just connect to the United States. I could connect to other servers. As a matter of fact, if I go over here to the server list, you can see they have servers in many other countries. And the great thing about that is if I wanted to see content that was limited to a given region, I could actually change the region that it looks like I am coming from by going over here and selecting a different country. So let's go back over here to the main screen, and I'm going to minimize that now. And let's go into Google Chrome, and we'll look at speedtest.net. This is a good speed test that is available through your browser. So you notice it shows that I'm connected to IPVanish's server, which we saw earlier, and it has picked a server in Virginia to connect to for the speed test. So let's hit go, and we'll watch the speed test here for IPVanish. Now, the VPN is going to have overhead for the connection, and so you're going to see the impact of that connection through the VPN. You notice that my download speed is hitting at about, well, it shows 62.20 megabits per second. That is pretty good for a VPN connection, if you think about it. Now, I have gigabit internet here at the house. I have fiber optic gigabit down and gigabit up through North State. But even so, my upload speed, 32.83 through the VPN, 62.20 through the VPN for download. So pretty good. So let's go back to the main speed test site here. And I'm going to drop this out. And then we're going to go to our IPVanish VPN, and we're going to disconnect. And I've got a process back here that is my email. Once I disconnected, of course, it said, I don't have connection to the server. And it won't until it goes back and shows that I am now connected through Highpoint, through my regular ISP connection with no VPN. So the VPN shows off. There's no activity. I'm going to minimize that. And then let's go back to, there goes my email again, complaining, because it's still trying to settle it into the new connection. Let's go to, actually, where am I headed? Let me go to Chrome and pull up speed test once again. And of course, with the new network connection, it's kind of having to find the DNS server and, you know, settle some things out to get back to my regular connection. So here we are back in speed test. It still shows that IPVanish is the server that is connected. So I'm going to actually reload the screen because we are actually connected through North State now. So there we go. Now it's showing correctly. We are connected to North State after that refresh, and it's finding the optimal server for the North State connection. And it's showing Chicago, Illinois. So let's go ahead and try that connection speed test. So we'll go out and ping that server in Chicago. And now we're seeing the throughput for the server. This is the download speed. You notice it is higher, but it's not significantly higher. Comparatively, 91.35 for download speed. Now it's going to go for upload speed. Now you may be asking yourself, well, now, Dr. Bill, you're paying for gigabit up, gigabit down. What's going on here? Well, I've made a lot of changes back and forth with the network, so that's one thing that impacts it. I have been able to get 95, 96 up and down in previous tests, but I have a lot of systems here on the network, and some of those systems are web servers that are serving very large content out to the internet. So that's where a lot of my bandwidth goes for that gigabit up, gigabit down. I'm going to go ahead and, matter of fact, let me just reload again. I want to see if it picks up a different server than Chicago. And the best way to do that is to go in clean, let it find another server. Okay, Mooresville, North Carolina, that I think is a little more reasonable to go from High Point to Mooresville. So let's run that and see what our connectivity is going to be. So as we see our download speed, we're going to probably hit about 94 or 5 here. Okay, 93.78, almost 94. And now we're going to go for the upload speed. And it's going to hit at about 92 or 3. Here we go. 94.08. Okay, so now this shows you what the speed would be without the VPN. And as you can see, it is significantly faster. You're paying for the VPN with a little bit of overhead that VPN is going to add in. But still, back in the day when I was at Sibagagi Corporation, high-speed networks for the LAN was 10 megabit. And they specifically wanted 10 megabit back then so they could do video over the LAN. So if you could get 10 megabit and higher, you're going to be okay with your video, okay, even off the internet. So these speeds are very, very acceptable for, all the video viewing that you might have. So that just goes to show you what the VPN does, how it works, and also the impact of VPN on your throughput. Okay, there you go. So you see how that works, and you see the impact of a VPN on your throughput, but that is a small price to pay for the security that it provides, because end to end, you're going to be secure and nobody's going to be able to see your activity. All right? So VPN is the way to go. Number 8, protect your sensitive data. Securely remove sensitive data files from your hard drive, especially when recycling or repurposing your computer. Physical destruction of drives is the best way to do this. They make big machines that you can drop your hard drive into it. It'll crunch it all up. It's glorious to watch. And that will destroy any possibility that data could be recovered. You could use BitWasher or some other tool to wash your drive, but there's always the chance that they can go in and find that data unless you physically destroy it. And it would be worth pulling the hard drive out and doing that to protect your data. All right, you could also protect sensitive files using encryption tools such as the ones built into your operating system. And number 9, use desktop firewalls. Every good operating system, Windows, Mac, and Linux, all come with a built-in firewall these days. Turn the firewall on. Do not turn it off. Let the firewall help protect you, okay? Make sure they are properly configured. All right, number 10, most important, stay informed about security issues. When there are attacks and there are vulnerabilities, you can hear about it right here on DrBill.tv, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. You can watch this show. That will help keep you informed. You can also follow me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel, and I'll put that up right here right now, the YouTube channel address. You can use that. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and click the little bell to be alerted when a new video comes out, okay? That will help keep you informed. And then also you can read the DrBill.tv blog, DrBill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Okay, these are all things you can do to help protect yourself on the internet. And I just wanted to have this security special right here before the holidays to make sure you're tweaked, you're protected, and you're ready for all the stuff that's going to be going on during the holiday season. All the transmission of data, the emails, the invites to parties, that kind of thing. So protect yourself before these holidays. And in the meantime, Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays to all. And to all, a good night. The doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.